Hey, good morning. We're so glad that you're here. It is a gift, a joy, a delight to gather with you in worship. Your face, your voice, your presence is one of the primary ways that we know that Christ is risen, Christ is real, and Christ is here. So thank you so much for sharing your morning with us. You can send your money in too. That's where my mind was going, but I said, don't say it, but then Freudian slip. So you're welcome. Stream of consciousness. It's all downhill from here. Hey, we're so glad that you're here. I want to introduce you all to a family in our church, wonderful, beautiful people, Barbara and James Henson. You know, they must be real Baptists. They're sitting on the back row this morning, and they've got a couple of kiddos. Max and May are two of them, and I'm embarrassed. I'm blanking on your oldest, but if you would stand and just let us welcome you, if you would join me in blessing them. Yeah. Welcome, Hensons. You'll be delighted when the real pastor's here next week. If you're a real Christian, you got a green prayer card. And if you're royalty, you got a purple prayer card. But I want to invite you to use that prayer card for one of two ways. I want to take a moment to invite and welcome our guest. Mark Chaney is with us this week on the organ. Mark is a local educator and a gifted human. Yeah, please, thank you so much. Our sister, our friend, our resident creative, just wonderful sister in Christ, Marilyn Arland, as you may have read, is spending some time, extended time with her family, and she is serving her family with the love of a grandmother that only a grandmother can give. She's in Arlington helping drive kids to church and to school and soccer practice if they're real Christians. And Marilyn is transitioning to DFW for a little bit, and we're delighted to have Mark. And I just want to invite you to use a prayer card. And would you write a prayer card to Marilyn, just thanking her for her nearly 10 years of ministry here? And it would be hard to express all the beauty, all the ministry, all the spirit that has flowed through that organ. Marilyn is not just our organist. She's a celebrated, beloved, active member of our church. She's active in the Hope class. She's active, I imagine, in your life in some way. And so I invite you to take a prayer card. You can place it in the offering basket. You can give it to our office, and we'll forward it on to her. If you don't know Marilyn and you don't want to do that, that's just fine. You place the prayer card in the chair in front of you, or maybe you'll just write the Hensons. God bless you, and use a prayer card to invite them as well. A few words about Marilyn. She's been here leading us just in spirit and in grace and in truth, and grateful for Scott and Pastor Scott and his leadership with Marilyn. And as I understand, Marilyn and Larry go way back and have served together. When Alice and I moved here, someone jokingly said that Marilyn and Larry were married to one another. And Larry was telling me some dirt on Marilyn that we will use at another occasion. But one of the things Larry told me is we've been playing together for so long that Marilyn and I can read each other's mind. And if you needed a better reason to write a prayer card to Marilyn, the poor thing has to read Larry's mind. So if you would send her a blessing and just join us in thanking her and blessing her, I'm sure we'll be seeing her around, and she's still got a home here in Lubbock. So we're grateful for you in that regard, grateful to have Mark Chaney here with us, and I think you will be blessed. I invite you now to take a moment to breathe, to allow your mind and your heart and your spirit, your soul, to allow your entire person to receive the Spirit of God present in this place with us. Will you take a moment? My brothers and sisters and friends, may the Lord be with you and also with you.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you, as you are able, to stand with me for the call to worship for this morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what has drawn you to this place?
We have come to worship God, our salvation.
God is not confined to this place. God is always with you. God came with you.
We have come to worship.
How do you propose to worship so great a God? What do you have to offer our great God?
We offer our lives and our life to the living God. Jesus, from all we see, we bring offerings of mercy, justice, and peace.
When you leave this place, God will go with you. We shall live as we worship, aware of God's presence and power.
Lord God, you are worthy. We praise you. We honor you. We adore you. We glorify you. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords, sustainer, savior. Lord, we can't even describe in words who you are to us. So, Lord, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for always being with us. As we continue to praise and worship and honor you this morning, may we hear your voice, may we sense your touch, and Lord, may we leave from here closer to who you want us to be. Empower us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
All to come join me for children's time today. Come on down. Hey, come on down. Thanks for coming to children's time. Hey, Ren, come on down. You want to come join us too? We've got a spot for you. Come on, sweet friend. Let's go. Right up here. Thank you, guys. I'm so glad to see your faces. I brought with me today a bag of tricks that I'm excited to talk to you about. I don't know if you heard our call to worship today, but some of the cool things we talked about in our call to worship was we come into this place to praise God, right? And I said to some of the people, well, how will you praise God? And they were answering me with some questions. And so I was thinking about different ways that we can praise God. And I brought with me in my bag, is it possible to praise God with this little handbell? Yeah, have any of you used this handbell in children's choir? Some of us have rung it. How, when we sing and we play the bells, last week we heard Bells Gloria, right? And it was definitely a way to start worship and to praise God. That's an easy one, right, for certain. Okay, can we praise God? Some of you did these last year in the spring, Kai. Can we praise God with maracas and shakers? Absolutely, right? I like to make noise and movement when we're praising God in worship. That's a fun, easy way for me to show that I'm praising the Lord. All right, this one's tricky. Can we praise God with glitter? Yes. Yes. This is probably my favorite thing in the whole bag. If you are having a birthday or a special date, my goal is to find you a card that has the most glitter on it, or to make you one with all kinds of, I love glitter. It's sparkly, it's happy. What better way to praise God than with glitter, right? It shows joy, it shows excitement. For me, it's my favorite. Okay, what about these? What are these things called? Do you guys remember these? These are called your boom whackers. I know. I love to see you guys sing and play your boom whackers for us in front of the church. Maybe we'll get to do that this year with children's choir, right? I'm going to have to save it for a special day. Okay, here comes a hard one. Are you ready for the difficult one? Can we praise God with dog food?
Yes.
What? How? And what about chicken nuggets? Can you praise God with chicken nuggets? Yes. Okay, I want to show you some pictures. This is really cool. This past week, I was helping out with some of my friends at St. Benedict's. This is a place where we get to go. I get to go monthly, and we get to serve food with some of our friends in the community. And we were serving chicken nuggets and chicken tenders and biscuits for our friends who were coming up to have a meal. And these ladies were doing an amazing job of filling up these food buckets. And then we brought with us a ton of dog food. And y'all, it was like church outside. And if you can see this special dog, okay, this dog's name was Tuff. And the owner said, my dog has been knighted. He said, so we don't call him Tuff. And a knight is a very important person that they do this really important ritual with him. And he said, so we don't call him Tuff. We call him Sir Tuffington the First. So that is this dog's name, Sir Tuff. And he was there and he was enjoying the dog food that we were giving out. And there's a few more pictures of us. Look at all of these people who were out there at St. Benedict's with us. They were getting meals. They were getting chicken nuggets. We had a prayer together. Everyone was leaving and they were saying, God bless you. You guys have a great week. And it was the greatest church service that I've ever been to. Look at the happy faces that we got to spend time with. And the cat was eating the dog food that some of us spilled, and the cat was eating it right outside of St. Ben's, and we took the picture. So I want you to know that in our call to worship, it says God will go with you, all of you, when you leave this place. And God was with us last week at St. Ben's, and God will be with you in your classroom. You can praise God with your Lunchables. You can praise God with your pencils. You can praise God with your voice, and especially with your beautiful smiles that you give to everybody every day. And it's not just through worship and song. It's through everything that you guys do. And I wanted you to see those special pictures. I'm going to save those for us far on Wednesday night, so you come back and you can touch all of them. Before we leave, let's say a quick prayer to Jesus. Jesus, we thank you so much for coming into this world and showing us how to praise God. Thank you for showing us how to love and for how to share love with others that we don't even know. God, be with each and every one of these children and their families, and be with us as we leave this place, and help us to share your love in our community. In your most holy name we pray, amen. All right, Miss Donna's ready for preschool praise if we're going that way. Otherwise, you can sit with your folks.
Praise the Lord, choir. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes or in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the stranger. He upholds the orphan and the widow, and the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Rabbi, teacher, you who taught thousands and yet were willing to learn from the least of these, we confess that we pretend to know when in truth we still wonder. Forgive our pretense that we may open ourselves to unexpected teachers, to fresh ideas, to one another, to you. Vulnerable Christ, you who lived in generous love, we confess that we have closed ourselves off, that we have seen so much suffering that we stop looking rather than see and respond to those in need. Forgive our neglect that we may care for one another and follow in the example you set for us. In your name we pray. Disciples, friends, followers, students of the living Christ, know that you are forgiven always and freed to begin anew through God's everlasting mercy and love. Amen. If you'd stand. Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who oppose you. It is not they who drag you into court. It is not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or a sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, be well, #blessed, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What a gift your presence is. I want to thank you for joining us for worship. For those of you online, what a gift it is to gather with you for worship. I arrived home from a deacon's meeting to an empty, quiet home, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a clean home. I didn't come home to a clean home. I came home to an empty, still miracle. And there on the kitchen table beside the shoes, that's right, shoes are on our kitchen table. Random puzzle pieces, nibbled pieces of plastic frozen characters, and a rather large note on orange construction paper, mostly filled with illegible scribbles and circles. A backwards capital E, because we're fancy and advanced. Smushed stickers. And with purple Crayola marker, with elegant handwriting, was this note. Dear Dad, we've gone to pick up dinner from the donut shop. Love you, Mommy. P.S. Chocolate milk, too. The note is in Allison's handwriting. The note is signed by Allison. The note, I'm sure, was supervised by Allison at every step of the way. And yet there is one of the most important concepts in all of our faith, I think, at work here. As often is the case, that which is important to understanding life is often a helpful tool for us in understanding Scripture. That which is helpful for us in understanding Scripture is also helpful for us in understanding our lives. And in James chapter 2 this week, are you two chapters in? We invite those of you, particularly those maybe you don't have a practice of Scripture, invite you to read one chapter of James a week for these next few weeks. Maybe you are undefeated. You're two chapters in. You're undefeated just like the football team, the real football teams like the Spurs and the Baylor Bears. Who are you thinking of? If there's nothing else, yeah, that joke didn't play well. I didn't do that one in the early service either. But if you don't hear anything else today, I hope you will consider these questions. What are the voices that you listen to? What are the voices in our world that you need give yourself permission to no longer listen to? What is your voice? Yeah, I think these are fabulous questions to ask at the heights of our lives. I think these are fabulous questions to ask in our depths. didn't do this in the early service either, but friend of mine who wrote our opening processional hymn, Worthy of Worship, Terry York, said, if you give a really great sermon, don't listen to anything anyone says about it. And if you give a really bad sermon, don't listen to what anyone really says about it. Now, some of you might be waiting for that really great sermon. I am too. in our heights and in our depths, what are the voices that you listen to? And what are the voices that you might allow yourself to no longer listen to? What is your voice? In a post-Reformation, post-Enlightenment Europe in the 19th and 20th centuries, Christian scholars centered around what became known as the quest for the historical Jesus. Largely out of Germany, this was a search wondering, what are the consistencies? What are the historical reliabilities of the Jesus of history? And how do said facts line up with the Christ of faith? Are these two people, or is this one person? Or maybe even better yet, how do these two people interact? And for some, the answer was that the Jesus of history and that the Christ of faith were in fact the same person. And for others, the answer was the Jesus of history and the Christ of faith were quite impossibly the same person. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that there were Christians who disagreed? Can you imagine a world in which some Christians think other Christians are ignorant and other Christians think some other Christians aren't Christians at all? Wild. At the macro level, this epoch, of course, begged the question, can the Bible be trusted? Is it historically accurate? Is it true? And how do any of these categories relate? 2 centuries of modern debate and scholarship would be greatly offended by my meeble mind, but I'd like to offer you one concept that has been terribly helpful to me with respect to this particularly. It seems to me that Jesus has a voice. Yeah. It seems to me that the voice of Jesus echoes through. Jesus, who mostly and largely throughout his life spoke Aramaic, maybe a few moments, depending on where he was, may have spoke Greek. These stories in Aramaic were carried together, memorized, as became part of what is known as the oral tradition. And years later, those stories are written down, not in Aramaic, but in a very specific blue-collar version of Greek. And later, parts of those stories, although not in whole, but parts of those stories were translated into Latin. And years later, those Latin stories and those Greek stories were compared with one another to see who told the story this way and who told the story that way. And years later, those stories in Latin and in Greek were all put together in what we know as the King James Bible. And if you use any other, well, then get out of here. Can a brother get an amen? And despite all of this complexity and interest in modern terms of history, despite all of this, I find that the voice of Jesus echoes through. My older brother and I remember the day our family got a personal computer. We do. I remember the day the tech came to our home to connect the landline, phone line. Friends, I'll tell you about it later. They connected this landline to our computer. I remember the day we got the internet. Do you remember the day you got the internet? My younger brother is a digital native. Yeah, he's one of those who doesn't remember ever not having a personal computer. He's one of those who never knew the world apart from the internet. Now, in my life, I don't believe I have ever heard God speak. People I love, people I admire, people I value, people I trust have had that experience in which they have heard God speak to them. Yeah. It's not a reality or an experience that I can really relate to personally. I have not ever heard God speak. But in those Mayberry-like final moments of America, I can remember with some sort of nostalgia, I can remember that you could find all the kids in the neighborhood by simply driving around and seeing where all the bikes are. And I can remember being in the backyard of our friends, and I can remember hearing voices cry out. Yeah, Jared's father was an alcoholic. Jared was a much better soccer player than I was. Hated it when he came to our games. Jared probably hung up his boots, his cleats, far too soon because it was just an awful experience for him to be on the soccer field because his parents came to his game. I can remember being in the backyard and hearing the voice of Jared's father cry out. And I can remember my parents down the street hollering at us from the back patio. I have no idea what they said. I have no idea what words they used when they called out to us boys. However, I could tell you by the tone and the tenor and the tempo of their voice. Yeah? I could tell you, do I need to go home right now? Did I forget to do my chores? Or is it just come home sometime not long after dark? You see, I couldn't tell you the words my parents used to call out to us boys, but I could tell you that I heard the voice of my parents calling. Yeah. God has never spoke to me. And yet through all of this, I hear the voice of Jesus ringing through Scripture, ringing through reality, ringing through you as a person. Yeah. And there may be no more spiritual words uttered this morning than these three: tone, tenor, and tempo. Yeah. What is the tone, the tenor? What is the tempo of your life? As mentioned, authorship regarding the material that we call James, like almost all of the material in our scripture, is a complicated issue. It's particularly complicated because of centuries of differences in modern classifications like copyright and plagiarisms, ideas that just simply did not exist in the ancient world, specifically because of high regard for oral tradition, which is, again, is so helpful to me to think about voice. Hear these words of Scripture, as you've already heard that Allison so wonderfully read for us this morning. I'm only imagining the negotiations that are taking place in my home right at this very moment. Unlike the United States government, we do negotiate with terrorists on a regular basis. Chapter 2, verse 5, James says, "Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him?" Although my Bible says James, listen again. My brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom of God that he has promised to those who love him? Although my Bible says James, listen to Matthew 16 on the lips of Jesus. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And although my Bible says James chapter 2, I think here, chapter 2, verse 5, we have really the words of Jesus. Yeah. That the first shall be last, that the last shall be first, that the poor will be rich, that the doubting will have faith. This is Jesus encouraging the earliest of churches to be a welcoming community, that Jesus would be Savior of all, rich and poor, Greek and Jew, male and female, gay and straight, bear and raider, Republican or Democrat, this or that. Can a brother get an amen? Chapter 2, verse 5 isn't just James. It is the voice of Jesus that James has been listening to. It is this voice that echoes through. What are the voices? What are the voices that you're listening to? And what are the voices in your life and in your world you might allow for yourself to no longer listen to? Whose voice is it? Whose voice is it echoing through you? Yeah. Just a few verses later, again, James chapter 2 now, verse 8. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, which is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. And again, I hear another voice. Although my Bible says James, I hear the voice of Romans. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. I hear the voice of Paul. Paul through the voice of James here. Paul, a scribe among scribes, and in fact, this original audience, likely of what we call the material of James, likely there in Jerusalem, likely a Jewish Christian community, of course, like much of the early church, is concerned with that great tension, how to adhere to the law or not. James concludes this second teaching, this second chapter teaching on the law, I would say quite well, maybe even a little bit better than Paul. James concludes his teaching on the law with this: mercy triumphs over judgment. Yeah. And 3 years ago, when we moved to Lubbock, we knew that our daughter Eva would be blessed by God to have that Texas accent. I personally don't even believe in the word y'all. But I'm aware that culture and context eats my concordance for lunch. You know those people you talk to on the phone, maybe, and suddenly your voice changes? Yeah. You know those other parents you send your children to go spend the night with? And those parents let their kids watch so-and-so and such-and-such. And your children come back home and you can see this lexicon on their lips. Yeah. I suspect it's not just the voice of Paul, rather. It is this communal voice of faith, struggling in those early years of what it means to be a church, adhering to the law, Jesus, the Savior of all. It is the larger faith community, this dialogue partner in which James has given his life to. It is the resound of Paul. It is the resound of Priscilla. It is the resound of Aquila. It is the resound of all of these flowing through James here in the second chapter. Which communities, which traditions do you allow to have voice in your life? Which communities, which traditions might you allow yourself to no longer have voice in your life? Where is your accent from? Finally, here again in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, be well, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it at all? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by action, is dead. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. For those of you here with us last week, for those of you who are still offended by my brand preference for Adidas, all day I dream about soccer. Yeah, James here in chapter 2 is repeating himself from last week, James chapter 1. Just do it. Spiritually, maybe more better put, for James, faith, real faith, is evidenced in action. This conclusion here in chapter 2, James is concluding the same way that he concluded chapter 1. James is repeating himself because some things are worth repeating. Yeah. Some words, some phrases, some things are worth repeating. What are the voices? What are the traditions? What are the mantras deep within you that are worth repeating? As you know, I've not hidden this at all. I'm not a strong reader. But there are a few books that I tend to return to every few years. Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline. I think every other year for the last 15 years is a book that I have returned to. As cheesy as this may sound, my wife and I a number of times have read Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages out loud to one another, alternating a chapter at a time. What are the voices that are worth repeating? And we can real talk for just a moment. There will come a day for all of us. There will come a day where either this community or some version of this community will gather together to celebrate your life, a life well lived. We'll gather for worship. We'll gather to celebrate. We'll gather to give thanks to God for you, for who you are, and for what you have done. We'll gather together in the unending light and hope of Christ. And at that funeral, at that memorial, as often is the case, someone will likely say something like this. He or she always said, yeah. He or she always said, every time I saw him, always said, what are the voices that are worth repeating? It seems to me that for James, three sort of mantras stand out, and I'd like to offer these three to you, and I encourage you to just select one. Maybe one of these speaks to you. For James, the things worth repeating seem to be mercy triumphs, love wins, and faith does. May that faith in action be with you. May that love that redeems all, conquers all, be with you. May the mercy, not judgment, may mercy guide you. And when we find something in our lives worth repeating, when you find something worth repeating, as it seems that James here has found something worth repeating, when you tune in to the voice of Christ, I sense, like many of you already have, I sense when you find yourself on repeat, it is then and there that you have found your voice. Yeah. The voice of Christ echoes through. It's worth repeating, and when we do, you have found your voice. And when you, my friends, when you have found your voice, when you find yourself on repeat with only that which is worth repeating, it is then you are that blessing to others as others have been blessed, as others have blessed you. Yeah. So I say, tonight for dinner, let's have donuts and chocolate milk too. Pray with me. Open our ears, our minds, our hearts to hear your love, to hear your mercy, to hear your faith, to hear and know your unending hope, O Christ. And may your voice, the only voice that is good, may it echo through always. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen. Friends, what a gift it is to worship with you. If we can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we'd be honored to do so. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship and respond together.
Father, today we thank you for small things, for life, for the air that we breathe, for the tiny kiss from a small child. We thank you for everything inside us, every atom, molecule that make us up who we are. We thank you that you turn those into tiny lights that can shine for your power and your glory. So today we bring you tiny offerings, indescribably small compared to the total wealth of the world. But we bring them to you with the faith that you take the small things and make them right for you. Father, we thank you for that. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
The peace of Christ to one another.
voice of Christ be with you, bless you, and transform the world. Amen.